So this morning, I think, Chuck, I don't want you to be worried. You said, oh boy, when you saw me wheeling the table. Not one of those things here. But this is a beautiful vine and branch that we made in Kids Club. So I appreciate Mel always taking the crafts and bringing them to life in a beautiful way. And so it prompted me to kind of think through some expanded thoughts in regards to our Kids Club lesson a couple of weeks ago. And so that's kind of where we're going this morning. So John 15, 1 through 10 is this picture of the vine and the branches. And so I'm going to read it this morning in the Message translation first, just because I like the way that it's phrased. I think the imagery used really kind of captures some of the thoughts of where I feel led to bring us this morning. And so I'll read that first, and then we'll pause for a moment in prayer. And so if you wanted to follow along, you could. Starting in verse 1, chapter 15, I am the real vine, and my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that doesn't bear grapes, and every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the messages I have spoken. Live in me, make your home in me just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear good fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine and you are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourself at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is when you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourself at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. I've kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment and this opportunity to be in your presence. And God, I ask this morning that as we go on this journey and this conversation together, God, that you would help us hear everything rooted within you. God, the world wants nothing more than to divide us, to separate us, to have us live under its rules and its laws and its circumstances. But God, in moments like this where you're here, help us to hear from you and you alone this morning. God, because in you there's clarity. And God, for me this morning, that means prune the things that don't need to be said. But God, help us to have a time of fruit bearing this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I came to the title of this sermon because I think it's an important point that kind of captures all of the things that we're talking about here. And it's a really true saying. It's probably not grammatically correct. Fruit don't lie. There's probably a better way, you know, in the grammar world to say that. But fruit doesn't lie, right? And so that's kind of the spot I want to go to. But I've had this thought, and it's kind of a funny picture that plays in my head every once in a while. So I get up every morning, and I want to set, you know, Amber and the kids off on a good start to the day. And so, you know, I make Amber's coffee every day, and I make eggs and things for the kids every morning. One of the things they always typically eat is fruit, right? And so the kids' favorite fruits are like strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, blackberries. And so I go and I open it, and like the fruit always looks good. We either get it from Publix or sometimes from Costco. We try not to get it from places that have, bad produce. So we try to get really good things. And so, you know, I go around, here's your eggs, here's your fruit, and the kids will start eating. And every once in a while, one of them will have this really just shocked expression on their face because they go to eat a blueberry, a strawberry, a raspberry, or something. And we all know those things are typically sweet and juicy and delicious, and they bite one and it's sour and it's tart, right? And they were expecting something sweet and something delicious, but it wasn't what they expected it to be. And I think when we look at John 15 here, I think that's what Jesus is really talking to us about. The fruit of our life, the attitude, the things that we do, how we carry ourselves, our words, our habits, our deeds, the way that we love. As Christians, it's expected to be a particular way. But when it comes down to the byproduct of those things, we can do the right things, we can look the right part, we can come to church every Sunday, but eventually, if we're not connected to the true vine of Christ, our fruit is going to tell the truth about where we are. So in John 15, Jesus paints a picture of what real connection, right? That's really what he's talking about. The emphasis is the connection to Christ, what that really looks like. So he says that our life, joy, spiritual fruitness depend on one thing, and that's staying connected to Christ. And so the first thing we see in John 15 is that the source determines the fruit, right? So Jesus is saying, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener, right? And so if Jesus is calling himself the true vine, so like anytime there is a definitive statement made, then there's always the opposite of that statement that is true too. So if Jesus is the true vine who we are called to be connected to, then that means there are false vines. There are things that we can graft ourselves onto, that we can connect ourselves onto, that are not rooted in Christ. And I don't know, Amber and I went to Epcot recently and we were on this little boat ride, and they take you through and talk about like how crops and things have been cultivated over years and different cultures and things do those things. And what's really fascinating is as you kind of come through that like informational thing, you come out to a place in Epcot where they grow produce that is actually used on Disney's properties. But they don't grow them in traditional, conventional ways. They have taken things like carrots and cucumbers and potatoes and other vegetables, and they've grafted them into a different root system so that things that are typically grown in the ground are actually grown above the ground, right? And grown in these different contraptions and things. And what they've found is by grafting those things into the root system of something like green beans or something that grows like on trellises or above the ground, we can grow them faster, right? And we can produce more, right? And so then they can feed more people, and they're growing their own food. So it's less food they're going out and sourcing, that it's grown here organically and all that stuff, right? So the same is true for us. We could graft ourselves into other things. We might graft ourselves into a relationship. We might graft ourselves into a career. We might graft ourselves into, different causes for certain events or things. We can graft ourselves into political movements. We can graft ourselves into times of comfort. And all of those things, for a time, we might look like we're thriving. We might look like we're doing really well. And you might still be producing something, but are you producing the right kind of fruit? You can't graft yourself. Jesus is saying here, you can't graft yourself in to a false source and expect the fruit of the Spirit to grow. And so there are some false vines, I think, that have the appearance of maybe the right type of vine that I want to unpack with you for a little bit here. I think one vine, and again, Pastor Ron says this, and this is the same that's true for me, is I speak to myself first as I'm thinking through these things before I ever come. So I'm not coming with condemnation, but I'm hoping that Jesus is speaking truth through the words that I offer this morning. And so the first vine, I think, is the vine of success. When we allow our worth to come from what we do and how much we make, rather than the fact that we are a child of God, it doesn't last. The vine of approval, when we want to be liked, when we're looking for popularity or finding validation in how much things get liked on social media or you know how many times people say, oh, that thing's wonderful and fantastic, and we don't find our approval in Christ. That's a challenge. The vine of comfort, when we try to find places where we just feel okay all the time. We don't want to be challenged. We don't want to be pruned. We avoid the pruning process. And we say, well, I'm doing okay enough, right? I don't want to get out of my comfort zone. I don't want to teach a Sunday school class. I don't want to start a care group. I don't want to come volunteer at kids club. I don't want to have a trunk for trunk or treat because that might make me feel a little uncomfortable. And we can avoid growth because it feels that way. The vine of religion, and I know, not saying not to be Christian or not to follow Jesus, that's not the vine I'm talking about, but I think the vine of religion as an institution is, I go to church every Sunday. I reply back with the praying hands when you know the prayer request goes out, or when people are going through difficult times, we say thoughts and prayers, right? It's the actions of doing it without the actual like emotional connection of it coming through Christ. It's just the thing we do in response. It's transactional, it's not intimate. And I think the other vine that we graft ourselves into is the vine of politics. And I think very hard and long and careful about things that I say, and to the point where, you know, I feel like I'm trapped in the middle sometimes. And so I want you to hear clearly and understand my heart. I think politics has become a significant challenge in the global church at large. And I think when we think of the church and politics, I think politics has begun to kind of creep in like this weed. And so when Amber and I first moved in to our house, we were blessed to be able to buy Linda Niedermeyer's home. And we live right across the street from Mark and Robbie Stuckey. And I remember him coming over and being like, hey, you have this weird weed thing growing here in all these bushes, and when you try to rip it out, it's gonna smell really bad. And you're gonna rip it out, and it's gonna come back, and you're gonna rip it out, and it's gonna come back, and you're gonna rip it out, and it's gonna come back, right? And that's true. 5 years later, that stupid vine is still here, that stupid thing, and it stinks every time you rip it out, right? I even hired a landscaper to come and dig out all the roots of it, and guess what? Still grows back. And so sometimes we just get comfortable with it being there, and we don't prune it back, or we don't trim it to a place where it's right. I'm not saying that we shouldn't engage in politics. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be informed. But I think the challenge for us as believers, when we start defending positions, persons, and policies of people who live outside of the example of what Christ gives us in Scripture, when we spend more time defending those things than we do living out the life that Christ has called us to, that becomes a problem. Because I think we have to understand that the purpose of Jesus' ministry was not to come and take over earthly power. He came to preach. He came to offer and usher in the kingdom of God. He came to do that through redemption and reconciliation from sin. He came to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. He came to establish a spiritual kingdom, not a political one. He came to bring us back to intimate, deep, right relationship with God. And he did that through humility and dying on the cross, through his life of ministry, through his death, and through his resurrection. And so our allegiance belongs to him, not to party, not to policy, because the fruit that we produce is a direct byproduct of where we are attached. And so Jesus brings us, in the Christ-like example that we find deep in Scripture, those things are love, peace, patience, kindness. The world and everybody else would offer us anger and outrage and division and condemnation for those around us that look different and act different. And so there's a scriptural basis for, I think, engaging in this in the right way, and that's Daniel. When we think of Daniel's life, I think it paints us a picture of what it really should look like of staying grafted to the true vine when we're surrounded by all of these other things. And so Daniel was taken from his home, went to Babylon, was immersed in Babylonian culture, right? He was given a different name. He was offered all of the benefits. He was offered power, prestige, comfort. He was offered positions of authority. but it's very clear in the early, early parts of Daniel, Daniel 1:8, but Daniel resolved that he would never defile himself. Down to the things he said, down to the food he ate, down to the food that his men around him also ate as well. He stayed committed to being connected to God in prayer, in conviction, in integrity. Even when he was told not to, he did it anyway. And the fruit of his staying connected to God, the staying connected to the true vine, the fruit is this. He had wisdom that amazed even earthly kings. He had faithfulness that stood under firm pressure and penalty of death. And he had influence that was exalted and glorified by God, through God, even in the midst of being exiled. And so Daniel's life is proof that you can live in Babylon and not be rooted in Babylon and still produce good fruit by being connected to the vine. And Jesus in chapter 15 is doing the same. He's inviting us, just like Daniel, to stay grafted and rooted in his vine. Not just survive in the broken world, but to bear good fruit that shows the vine that we are really connected to. And so the vine you are connected to is the direct outcome of the fruit that you produce, because fruit doesn't lie. And so the second thing I want to see is that if we want to continue to bear good fruit, then we must stay connected. Verse 4 says, remain in me, or abide in me, and I will also abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Fruit doesn't grow because there's any effort on the part of the fruit to grow. Fruit grows because it is connected to the healthy source. When we stay connected, we can grow good and produce good fruit. I remember there was a time when Pastor Ron was growing, and I didn't ask his permission, and he's at home listening, so now he can't say anything unless he texts me and tells me not to say it, but he has no idea what I'm gonna say. But there was a time where he wanted to grow vegetables, right? And I think like every hardworking guy, when we set out to do something, we set out to do it and do it well. And so he had this little garden, and he had it all worked out where he was gonna put it, and he planted a tomato bush. And the tomato bush grew, and it grew a bunch of tomatoes, and it grew a bunch of tomatoes, and it kept growing tomatoes, and he got sick and tired of tomatoes because it kept growing tomatoes. And so eventually, he ripped it out of the garden and threw it out in his backyard until trash day. And, I think probably maybe didn't want it to be unsightly to the neighbor, so he threw a tarp over it to, like, keep it kind of out of the view. And I just remember it sitting there. And so we would come over, and we would go in the pool, or we would hang out, and there's this tomato bush hanging out there for a few days. And I remember one time he went out there, and we were cooking or doing something, and he went out, and he flipped the tarp over, and there's the tomato bush. And he had plucked all the tomatoes off, ripped it out, threw it over into the grass, and when he uncovered the tarp, it was still growing tomatoes. And so, but what you notice when things like that happen is that, yes, it's going to still grow tomatoes, but those tomatoes aren't going to be as firm. They're not going to have that same rich, ripe red color. They're not going to have the same flavor, because the life source for that tomato is now gone. Right? And so the same is true for us. We can remove ourselves from the vine, or we can be grafted into a different vine. And for a time, for a period, we might be able to still produce some fruit, but it's not going to have that same bright color. It's not going to have that same richness as if we were to stay connected to Jesus. And so we can keep doing church things, but we're going to have activity and not abundance. We're going to have motion with no life. You still might produce something, but when you're not connected to the true vine, your fruit will never be what it's meant to be. And so the word in the Greek is abide, which is meno. And so in John alone, meno appears over 11 times. And so it's not just the thought of like, I'm gonna like, you know, hey, I'm over here, right? I'm just like, I'm kind of in the same proximity or presence. Meno truly means to like be deeply connected into an infinite, intimate relationship, right? And so there's a couple of key examples where in the Gospel of John, meno is also used to describe more than just like us abiding with God. So in John 14:10, it says, the Father abides in me and I abide in the Father. So it's talking about the Father and Son, God and Jesus' relationship. John 14:17 says, the Spirit abides with you, talking about the Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, not just being available to us, but truly living, being then grafted into us as the helper that Jesus gives to us. In 1 John 2:24, it talks about us being in truth and love within Jesus. So let the word abide within you, right? And so when we think about this picture of what Meno is and what God is or Jesus is inviting us into in John 15 here, it's he's inviting us into the same community that the Trinity exists in. So when we think about the picture of what perfect intimate relationship is, it's Trinity. And Trinity is God being in communion with himself. And it's not just the Father's here, the Son's here, the there. But when we think about the picture of the Trinity, we have like those three, you know, things that kind of make up the Trinity triangle or whatever. They're always connected. Each part is connected to the other. There's parts that are separate, but they're all joined and working together in perfect harmony in community. And so when Jesus says, abide in me, over 11 times in John here, he's inviting us into a connection, into a source, into a relationship framework that already exists, that's constant, that's life-giving, that's rooted in fellowship. And so what are the ways that we can abide? How can we stay grafted? How can we stay connected to this relationship? The first one is the word. We abide in the word. We study the word and we let scripture shape our minds, our thoughts, and our attitudes more than what the world might offer to us. In worship, we keep our heart tuned to God through worship and not just worship on Sunday. This is not this. Yes, this is worship, but this is thanks, right? Worship is how we live that out every single day other than when we come in this space. Right? It's not just enough to come and worship and be led and be filled on Sunday, but it's the attitude of worship that goes through us every single day, every single week. Prayer, talking, being in communion with God, not just in the time that we pray on Sunday or the time we pray in small groups or not just praying when a prayer concern comes out in the email, but having daily walking conversations with God. And then being in community, staying connected to other believers who are also attached and grafted into the true vine of Jesus Christ. And again, I'm not talking about Sundays. I'm not talking, you know, about, you know, the little, you know, drive-by meetings and things that we have, but I'm talking about things like just pray. I'm talking about connecting to a care group. I'm talking about coming and connecting with our kids. If you want to see what it looks like to be amazed and in awe of Jesus and the things that he's done and through those stories, come and talk to our kids. Come and watch them work through and talk about these things. Being in places where believers are, not just for the steps of Sunday services. And so I think the picture of this looks like this. So this is my phone, and this phone is pretty new. I just got it because my other phone, although it looked really well, it was smelling like it was on fire from time to time, and like the battery died, so I got a new phone. And so this phone is significantly more valuable than my old phone, but this phone is only going to be good for 96% battery life longer. And I can make phone calls, I can make text messages, I can make sure that my fantasy football lineup is okay, and all of those things. I can check the score of the Dolphins game so I can send funny messages to Lucas when they work. Sorry, Dusty. I can do all of those things with this phone. But eventually the usefulness of this phone will run out if I don't do what? Connect it back into the charger. How many of you have been to a place where your phone is dying and you didn't have a charger? Or you had the cable without the square thing that plugs into the wall, right? The phone people are so ridiculous that when you buy a phone, they don't even give you the ability to charge it into the wall. They just give you the cord, right? But it's useless without the piece that connects it to the electricity, right? The same is true for us. If we do not abide in and plug ourselves in to the word, to worship, to prayer, to community, we're slowly just running out and slowly fading. And Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's not a threat. That's not a warning. It's an invitation. It's saying, you can do all those things and you might produce something, but apart from me, you're not going to do anything. It's an invitation in to community with me. And so the source where we're connected, it determines the fruit, and abiding and staying connected helps us to do that. And the fruit reveals the root. John 15:8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you will bear much good fruit. The fruit of our life tells the story about where we're connected. You see, the world, the people around us, aren't going to see you reading your Bible. They're not going to see what's written in your prayer journal. They're not going to know what you shared at care group. They're not going to know the things you might have prayed during prayer time. They're not going to know, unless they watch us online, if you got anointed by someone, anointed for something. They're not going to know any of those things that you do. But what the world does see is the fruit of the Spirit. Are you loving? Are you filled with a joy that's only explained by talking about the person of Jesus? Do you have peace in the midst of trials and uncertainty? Do you have patience to go through those hard things? Do you have kindness that goes beyond people that look or act or vote the same way that you do? Is there goodness in your actions? Is there faithfulness to Jesus, even when you question, why are these difficult and challenging things happening to me? Is there gentleness? Is there self-control to bite our tongue? Is there living proof in your thoughts, actions, words, and deeds that you do that is visible to other people, that shows that you are truly connected and have Christ's life flowing through you? Because on the other hand, if the fruit of the Spirit is what we're called to, and that's the visual byproduct of us living connected to the vine of Christ, then on the other hand, the fruit that we might produce is anger or bitterness or gossip. I almost said gospel, that'd have been wrong. Or gossip or pride or division, right? Those things show that we are connected to a different vine. You can't fake fruit forever. Eventually, fruit shows its true roots, and fruit never lies. Have you ever seen videos on the internet, and you're like, well, yeah, probably, maybe. But it's like, is it cake or not? You know, and you see the things where people go, is this cake? And it looks like a beautiful steak. And you're like, yeah, that looks like steak. It looks like it just came off the grill. They cut it in and it's actually cake. Right? Looks one way on the outside, but on the inside, it's something completely different. The same is true for us. We can look polished and ready to go on the outside, but when someone looks deep on the inside at our actions, are we producing the fruit of the Spirit? Or are we not? Would people say about you that there's no doubt that you are connected to the person and life of Jesus? And the ways that you're acting. And as we close, I know, listen, I don't want us to sit in like the heaviness of like, darn, we're doing things wrong. But I want us to understand that perfection is never the goal of Jesus's ministry. Jesus isn't asking us to be perfect. He isn't asking us to you know, have every single moment, every thought, everything that we do to be the right way every single time. We're gonna make mistakes. And if you've been grafted into to the wrong vine, if you've thought about things like success, approval, comfort as priorities in your life, it's okay, because Jesus talks about the pruning that happens. And connection in Jesus is always more powerful. And the pruning paints the picture of we may not do things, but when we abide with God, we say, God, will you cut out the things that I don't need? Will you cut out friendships, relationships? Will you bring me from an employment opportunity that's maybe not the best for me, and bring me into something that's more fruitful, that more aligns with what you have for me? And at work, a lot of times, I have conversations about connection a lot with families and caregivers. And so I hear something a lot from parents. And I heard this from one particular caregiver. It's like, I blew it. This happened. I did this thing, and I didn't get it right. And they're so focused and fixated on that one singular moment of the one thing that happened. And I sit there and it breaks my heart to see caregivers that are struggling with things like this. And so I listen and I validate. You're like, yes, you know, that had to be hard. But then I ask one follow-up question. It's like, what did you do next? Because in healthy relationships, there are always ruptures. There are always breakdowns in communication. There are always misunderstandings. There are always things that you wish, oh, I wish I could take that word back, or I wish I could take that one thing back. But when you watch a gardener work and they see a broken branch, they don't just chop it off and throw it away, right? Have you seen trees after hurricanes? Yes, everybody has seen trees after hurricanes, right? And we don't just chop down every tree. What do? We tie a big piece of rope to it, and we stake it off, and we pull it back, right? And we allow it a chance to re-root itself into the soil. And so God in his pruning is not just cutting things away and hacking things off. That might be some of it, but he's gently lifting us up. He's cleaning our wounds. He's reattaching. He's repairing with us. And so there can be lots of reasons for ruptures in life. There can be lots of reasons for ruptures in your relationship with God. Maybe you've gone through something hard and you're in a season of distance. Maybe you're distracted by the success and the job and the transition and retirement and all of the things that we've got to do. But in this moment, there is no disappointment in God. There is only a faithful father standing down the road waiting for their son or daughter to come back, to greet them with a hug, to bring them back into right relationship and to restore them. So if you feel like you've been separated, torn away, distracted, God can restore you and regraft you back into the vine. He doesn't cancel or remove branches. He's waiting simply to reconnect you. And so as the band comes and prepares to close us, I just want to offer some prompts, and the altars will be open if you would like to pray as the band closes in the final song. And there's an opportunity, a visual opportunity we can have here this morning. You see, when we abide in Christ, peace will always replace your anxiety. Love will always replace your anger. Unity will replace points in areas of division, and joy will always replace despair. And verse 10 says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. And again, church, it's not a warning, it's an invitation to be deeply rooted in connection with Christ. And so as I pray in close, and as the band leads us, there's a bunch of pipe cleaners here of various colors. And so this is our vine, and we're going to create a symbol of what it looks like to be all connected. And so as you listen to the song, as you pray, you might ask God to reveal things that you might have attached yourself to. You might ask God to prune areas. You might ask God to help you to stay connected. And if that's your prayer and that's your heart this morning, is I want to put those things aside. I want to regraft myself, recommit myself, redraw myself back in to the vine of Christ, and grab a pipe cleaner, twist it on to the vine somewhere, anywhere, it doesn't matter, and reattach yourself this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. God, we thank you for the call on our lives. And God, help us to be open to pruning, and it can be difficult, and it can be challenging, and it can be hard. But God, you create those firm boundaries. You create those moments where you want us to be safe and abiding within you because you love us. So God, help us to be willing to be pruned. Help us to be connected deeply to you. And God, help us to produce good fruit, because God, now more than ever, in the climate that we live in, it is important for the church, for believers, for people who claim to be, say that I am a follower of Christ, to produce the right and good fruit. Because God, as you know, there are people out there claiming that and doing and saying things that don't line up to Scripture. So help us in the time that we have remaining, God, to feel connected to you this morning. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.